Welcome to Healing Place Church, where our mission is to be a healing place for a hurting world. We hope to enrich your life through reaching, serving, giving, and building. As you listen to this teaching, be inspired to fulfill your God-given destiny through the power of His Word.
Well, come on, Healing Place. Let's make some more noise. It's Sunday night. Oh, come on. You can do a lot better than that. It's Sunday night church. Come on. Pretty good. Hey, stand on your feet really quick. Stand on your feet. We're going to do something. It's Sunday night church, man. You must love Jesus. You came to church on a Sunday night. Hey, do me a favor. I know maybe you don't have someone directly next to you, but we do something back home every week before I preach, and it's pretty spiritual. I want to teach it to you. Put your hands up in the air like this. Both hands. Get your fingers going like this. Say spirit fingers. See, this is spiritual. I told you. Say spirit fingers. Say jazz hands. Say spirit fingers. Say jazz hands. Okay, turn to the right now. Help your neighbor out. Give him a little back massage. Wake him up. Got to get just a little back massage. This is why you should sit next to people you want to sit next to in church. You never know who's going to be rubbing your back. Hello. Okay. Back to the center. Say spirit fingers. Say jazz hands. Okay, the Bible says do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Other side. Other side. Help them out. Help them out. Somebody's really happy. Somebody's really mad. Back to the center. Say spirit fingers. Say jazz hands. Now this time I want you to make as much noise as you possibly can for the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Come on. It's pretty good, man. Hey, you can grab a seat. Grab a seat, man. What a great church, man. The Healing Place. I have been having honestly the best time here in Baton Rouge. I absolutely love this great city. I love this great church. Hopefully you know how phenomenal, fantastic your church is. And I always think great churches, man, always stem from some great leadership. And man, you are really blessed to have a wonderful team here, a wonderful staff of people that I think serve sacrificially. They serve generously. And man, you have got incredible senior leaders. We went to lunch today, and they made sure I ate well, put on some calories. I'm not really proud of that. But can we just go ahead and let's just show our love to Pastor Mike and Rachel really quick. We love you guys so much. Thanks for letting me take over your pulpit right in the middle of a series. I think he's back in the series next week. And if you're a guest tonight, man, come back next week. It's going to be a lot better than it is tonight. And you will be blessed as you hear Pastor preach. But I come from Miami, Florida, as maybe you heard this morning if you were here this morning. And I come from an inner city church. An urban church. We got people from all different walks of life. Our church, it's called Trinity. It's right next door to the largest strip club there in South Florida called Tootsie's. So you got Trinity, and then it butts right up to Tootsie's. And God's doing awesome stuff. We always say it's going to be our first satellite campus right there. It's going to be the easiest move-in of all time. Pray for us. We're going to take over that place. We're going to call it Trinity's Tootsie's, T2. And we're going to see a city changed, T2. How many believe in T2? Someone said amen. Amen, amen. Tonight, I'm happy. My brothers, they're my brother-in-laws, but I call them brother-in-loves. They're here with me. They were supposed to be at the morning services, but they caught a sleep demon, and they were sleeping a little bit. But all three of these guys are world changers. Some of you guys have probably seen Des Duran on The Voice. He was singing this past week at the conference. But we also have David D. and Dakota. Why don't you boys stand up really quick? Come on, can we give them a big round of applause? Let them know that we love them. They're amazing. I married their pretty sister, and they have two sisters. They're both pretty. I don't know why I said that. It sounded weird. But I married the one I wanted, praise God. And it came out weird when I said that. I married their pretty sister. No, Destiny, if you're watching, God bless you. We love you. Let's just close in prayer. And did you bring a Bible to church tonight? Did you bring a Bible to church? If you got a Bible, let's see all the Bibles, all the Christians in the house. Let's see it. I like big Bibles, and I cannot lie. Let's see them. Okay. Anyone with an iPhone, an iPad, is it still charged? Okay, a couple lights. Do me a favor. Turn to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. I was having so much fun this morning preaching, and I love Sunday night church, man. Hopefully there's some double dippers in the house. I know we've got some guests in the house, some first-timers for this weekend. But I'm going to preach tonight, if you don't mind, like I would preach if I was back in my church. Is that okay? like, I just sense, like, I mean, I've been here a couple times, the Healing Place, but I just sense today that, you know, like, we really solidified our relationship, and maybe you weren't here this morning, that's fine, but we like family now, and I'm just going to preach like I would preach if I was at home, okay? So what that kind of means is, like, regardless of how you respond, I'm going to preach. Now, it's going to be awkward if you don't respond, because I'm going to preach. I'm going to sweat. I'm going to spit. I'm going to get crazy preacher eyes going. It's not Red Bull. It's the anointing. And the more you respond, I promise you, we'll get out of here on time for that Heat game. Anyone been praying for the Heat? A couple people. Any San Antonio fans? Okay, there's the exit. No, I'm kidding. John chapter 20. I'm going to teach and preach a little bit tonight. This isn't really a message I would really share on the road normally, but I just sense it in my heart tonight. God's just speaking. And I feel like tonight somebody's going to get encouraged. And someone's going to walk out of here a little bit better than maybe the way they walked in. Amen? Somebody said amen? Oh, look at that. That's a loud church. John chapter 20, verse 10. This is what the Bible says. It says, then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels seated where Jesus' body had been. Everyone say two angels. One at the head and the other at the foot. If you've got a pen or a highlighter, go ahead and just underline that area right there. They asked her, woman, why are you crying? They've taken my Lord away, she said, and I don't know where they have put him. At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. Woman, he said, why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for? Thinking he was the gardener, she said, sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him. Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. Jesus said, do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, I have seen the Lord. Come on, if you've seen the Lord tonight, somebody said amen. Tonight, I want to take a few moments, 32 minutes and 55 seconds, and I want to preach from the subject, it's not always how it looks. It's not always how it looks. Let's just close our eyes in prayer for a moment. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we know that you're here tonight on this Sunday night service here in Baton Rouge. God, I pray that tonight, Lord, it wouldn't just be an ordinary night, but Lord, you'd begin to move in an extraordinary way. Tonight, Jesus, Lord, I pray that you would comfort people, Lord, where there's distress. Lord, I pray that you give people hope tonight, Lord, where they feel like, Jesus, all is lost. Tonight, Lord, may we leave this place changed and transformed by the power of your word. Lord, this is our prayer tonight, Jesus. God, we love you and we praise you. And all of God's people said, come on, all of God's people said, if you love Jesus, one more time, give him a big round of applause tonight. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And right there from the very beginning of the Bible, we discover that we serve a God who's a creator. Understand that the devil is simply a destroyer. Someone said amen. God is a creator, and we see right there in the very first two chapters of Genesis that God begins to create things, man. And he creates things and he says, it is good. Day one happens, day two happens, day three happens, day four happens, day five happens. But then finally on day six, as he's creating, he gets ready to create his most prized possession. He creates mankind. And the Bible says that literally he takes some dirt from the ground and he forms it into a man, and that man's name is Adam. Ladies, you ought to look at the man next to you and say, you ain't nothing but a dirt bag, homie. No, don't say it. He takes dirt and he creates a man. I mean, this is our God. It's pretty amazing stuff. Some people are like, that's crazy. That's mean. I don't like that. Well, it's not that hard for me to believe that God took dirt and he made a man. I mean, you come from the dirt, then one day you breathe your last breath and you turn back into dirt. So coming from the dirt doesn't really surprise me that much. God takes dirt, breathes into it, and he forms a man. And he takes this man and he gives this man a mission. The Bible says that Adam had dominion over this garden. This garden was known as Eden. It was beautiful. It was perfect. It was paradise. And God says, Adam, you have a mission. I want you to go and I want you to name the animals. And I read this story about this and it just makes me laugh so hard because you definitely know it was a man who named the animals. Ladies, you know that sometimes guys, we get started on something. We start pretty strong, but sometimes we have a tendency not to finish very strong, you know? I can see Adam all pumped up, like, oh, yeah. And he starts big. He's like, rhinoceros. Yeah. Giraffe. Yeah. Platypus. I mean, he's coming up with great names, right? But you can just see he gets tired. I mean, he gets tired. Ladies, we work hard. He gets tired. He's like, dog. Cat. Bee. That's not a name. That's a letter in the alphabet, homie. You know what we're talking about? The Bible says God looks at this man and says, man, it ain't good for man to be alone. All the men said, amen. Well, that was weak. All the men said, amen. And so he puts man to sleep. And the Bible says from his rib, he forms a woman. Fellas, look at the woman next to you and say, you ain't nothing but a McRib. Hello. No, I'm kidding. Don't say that. It's getting weird. He forms a woman. I love it. He doesn't take it. The woman from his head because she's not above him, and he doesn't take the woman from his legs because she's not below him, but rather he takes the woman from his side because they are equal in mission. And the Bible says, check this out, this is a pretty good life. The Bible says that they have this garden known as Eden, and Adam and Eve, they walk together in the garden, and the Bible says that they're naked and they feel no shame. It's a pretty good life. Got the garden, you're naked, life's good. Can't wait to get to heaven because I'm going back to the original state, homie. The Bible says that God literally would walk in the garden with Adam and Eve. I mean, can you imagine this? I mean, they would walk with God in the garden. The Bible says that it was beautiful. They were given this wonderful gift, yet there was one rule, there was one standard, there was one parameter attached to the garden. There was this tree, and you're not supposed to touch the fruit from this tree. Stay away from it. Everything else is yours. You have dominion. Just stay away from this tree. But one day the Bible says that Eve, she's walking by, and she's just beautiful and gorgeous, and as she's walking by, a serpent begins to talk to her. This is crazy stuff. A serpent says, so Eve. This is the Bible. So Eve, did God really say that you're not supposed to eat from this fruit? And she's like, oh my goodness, this is crazy. I got a serpent speaking to me right now. She goes, did God really say you shouldn't eat from this fruit? Just try some of this fruit, Eve. So Eve takes it. She's like, that looks good. And so she takes a bite of it. Bible says Adam walks up. I mean, dudes are dumb. You know, he walks up. There's a naked woman with some fruit. And she says, hey, you want some of this fruit? He's like, yeah, absolutely. It's not that crazy to me, you know. Everyone's like, Adam's an idiot. Not really, you know. Naked woman, some fruit. You want some? Sure, you know. The moment that they bit into this fruit was the moment that the blessing of God fell off of humanity and the curse of God fell onto humanity. It was the moment that man fell from God's standard. And the moment they ate the fruit, the Bible says that they recognized that they were naked and they ran into the bushes to hide. Please see the story. This is all in Genesis chapter 3. The Bible says that God comes down and he shouts out, Adam, where are you? And once again, we're going to see Adam is not a very smart guy. He shouts back, we're hiding. This is the dude that was never good at playing hide and go seek. You know that one kid who always had a sinus infection? You're like, hey, everyone shut up. He's like, I'm sorry, but you're like, shut up, you know? I can see Eve like, what? Are you an idiot? We're hiding, you know? God goes, where are you? We're hiding. We're hiding. The Bible says that they were hiding because they felt shame. And the reality is ever since that moment, all of humanity has always been hiding from God. We quickly see, we don't have enough time to go all into it, but at that moment, it's called the fall of man. And literally, the Bible says that God takes Adam and Eve and he kicks them out of the Garden of Eden. Because one man couldn't receive, all men became deceived. He's kicked out of the garden, and outside of the garden, there is put an angel of the Lord who guards the garden. You thought that South Beach and Miami created the bouncers? Oh, no, my friend. God, he created that too. This is Club Eden, and you ain't getting in without a pass. They're kicked out of the garden, and please just try to follow the picture for a moment. All of a sudden, we see that the presence of God is guarded. All of a sudden, that intimate relationship where we walk with God is now guarded, and now God is contained to a place. He's contained to an area, and Adam and Eve no longer have access to God. As you skip forward, we discover that the law is introduced. We don't have time tonight, but quickly the law is introduced because sin enters into the equation and God has to give a standard of who he is. And so Moses goes up on a mountain called Mount Sinai, and there God writes out his law on two stone cold tablets. Those tablets, they become the character and the nature of who our God is. Those tablets are then put into the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant had the stone cold tablets. It had Aaron's rod. It had manna. And everywhere the ark went, essentially, is where God's presence went. But you ever try to make something fit that doesn't fit? Come on, ladies. Don't act like you know what I'm talking about. Oh, snap. You know, some of you, these shoes just look way too good. I got to wear them today. Yeah, but your feet are killing. I know, but they look good. Jamming your foot into those high heels. This box, Exodus chapter 25, I'm just trying to tell you where I'm at here. This box, essentially, Dave was talking about earlier, it contained the presence of God. Wherever the ark went, that's where God's presence went with it. And the Bible says that in between the two cherubim, the two angels, one at the head, one at the foot, the mercy seat, that's where God's presence was, that's where he resided. This is where God was. God was put into a box. But how many of you know that that box can't contain our God? How many of you know that the law can never do what grace can do? How many of you know that the law says don't do that, but grace says, no, I'll go deeper than that. Don't be that. How many of you know the law says, hey, you have to do it, but grace says, no, I want to do it. God had another plan. Somebody said amen. God, in his richness of mercy, looks down at the human scenario and realizes that we can't get to God, so instead God comes to us. And Jesus Christ enters this world. The Word became flesh and he dwelt among man. But man rejected the light, and they put him on a cross and they stretched him wide and they hung him high, and he was put into a tomb. Friday came and people were crying and people were worried. And with Friday coming, they did not know that Sunday was right around the corner. And in John chapter 20, that's where we pick up in this story. 21 minutes, I'm going to do this. The Bible says that Peter and John are first to the scene. And as they show up to the scene, they freak out. They say, this is crazy. They look inside the tomb. There's no Jesus in there. They say, we're getting out of here. Following right behind them is a woman by the name of Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene, she chases to the scene and she looks inside the tomb. And when she looks inside the tomb, she discovers something that absolutely crushes her. She looks inside hoping to see Jesus, but when she looks inside, Jesus is not there. And the Bible says that she begins to weep and she begins to cry. How many know that sometimes there's going to be seasons in life that you're going to go through that grieving is going to come? There's going to be some real stuff that you go through that's going to cause you to cry. I'm so thankful that you're a part of the Healing Place Church. This isn't the Hiding Place Church. This isn't the church that says, cover your emotions. This isn't the church that says, suck it up and fake it till you make it. No, there are real seasons where you're going to go through tough stuff that you're really going to cry, that you're really going to grieve, that you're going to have to really be honest, and you're going to have to walk through it. Grieving is not the issue. The issue is leaving. There's a lot of people in life, they go to grieve, but they never leave. And if all you ever do is grieve and never make a decision to say, I'm going to leave, you're going to find yourself living really restricted, really set back in life. Hear me. Life doesn't wait on the wounded. Life keeps moving forward. And if you allow that pain, that moment, that sorrow to stop you from seeing the Savior, then you're going to find yourself at a major disadvantage. I don't know if you can remember when you were younger and you start to cry. Can you remember a time when you were younger, when you really were starting to cry? I mean, you're crying hard. And I remember I'd start to cry really hard, and I'd be getting those, you know, I'd be trying to suck it up. And my dad, I grew up in one of those kind of homes. We didn't believe in timeout. We believed in knockout. A couple of us, you know what I'm saying? Like, I saw mom the other day. She was, like, giving her kid, like, option. Like, you want timeout, or do you want to sit in the corner? I didn't get any options. I had two options, wooden spoon or leather belt, okay? That's it, man. That was the only options we ever got. And my dad was crazy. Like, my dad, he threw down in a different way. Like, he didn't want to just, like, spank you. No, he wanted to put the fear of God in you. My dad would send us to our room, make us wait. It was like death row. I'm not a parent, but I can't wait to be one. My dad, he'd want to put terror into your life. You'd be sitting in the room like, oh my goodness, what's he doing? I used to wonder, because he'd make us sit there for like 10, 20, 30 minutes. I used to wonder what he was doing. I know what he was doing. He was stretching. He didn't want to pull a muscle. You know what I'm talking about? And then, I don't know, does anyone have a crazy dad? Like my dad, he didn't want to tell you, he did some weird stuff. He would take his belt. This is a free parenting technique right here, okay? And he would take his belt. Some of you are going to know this. And Oh, see, I hear that. It takes me back. You know what I'm talking about? It's like, oh, sweet Jesus, he's back, you know? He would get this going. Oh, I'm coming for you. I'm like, oh, my. Like, before he got there, I was already a wreck, you know? He'd walk in, though. He would say the craziest stuff to me. Rich, this is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you. No, it's not. What are you talking about? Don't put yourself through it, Dad. Please, come on, man. And my dad would whoop me, man, and I would start to cry. And you ever get to crying, you know, or like the kind of crying, it's like you don't know if you got asthma or not, you know. When I was younger, my dad would say, stop crying, boy. I'm like, I'm trying, you know. And this is a true story. Last spanking I ever got, 15 years of age. My dad doesn't play. And so I'm like 15, like, let's go. Come on, bring it, you know. My dad whoops me. I'm like, But my dad gets angry, right? Because like his pride gets kind of messed up with, you know, like, oh, you better start crying, boy. I'm going to give you something to cry about. I'm like, Dad, which one do you want me to do? You know? Can you remember crying so hard as a young person? Or maybe it was last night that you start crying so hard and all of a sudden tears are in your eyes and you try to look up, you try to look through your tears, but as you look through your tears, everything is blurred because the tears in your eyes have blurred your vision. There's people, you're living in this place tonight and you're living life with a blurred vision because you haven't been able to let go of yesterday and move into today. You've been grieving for far too long, and I'm not here tonight to make fun of or make light of the grieving. I'm just trying to tell you at some point when you go to grieve, at some point you've got to leave. Because you can completely miss the Savior in the midst of your sorrow. So this woman, Mary Magdalene, she looks into this tomb, and as she looks into this tomb, she discovers that Jesus isn't there. I mean, she thought he was going to be there. And as she looks in, please see the picture of what we see. We see two angels. One seated at the head, John chapter 20. One seated at the feet, but in between the two angels, something's missing. Friend, it is a direct correlation to Exodus chapter 25. It's an indication that grace got out, that grace couldn't be contained, that the Savior couldn't stay locked up. Once you had to go to the ark, but now the ark has come to you. Jesus got out. I'm going to preach. We'll get there. We will get there. Looks inside, and she sees two angels. There they are, sitting there. And she's crying, she's weeping. The angels go, they go, what are you crying about? You've taken my Savior away. Isn't it amazing that 85% of things that you and I worry about aren't even real? She thinks Jesus has been taken away, but this is the farthest thing from the truth. Friend, hear me tonight. You can't lose Jesus. You can't shake Jesus. You're not that good of a runner anyways. You tried to juke him once, but he's still right there, man. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. He will never leave you nor forsake you. The last thing you should be worried about is if you've lost Jesus. He's there. He's right there. So much so, she's weeping, she's crying. All of a sudden, there's a tap on her shoulder, and this man goes, woman, it's Jesus. Woman, why are you crying? This is why I call my wife woman. She's like, why are you calling? I'm like, what would Jesus do? No, she'll cut me if I do that, okay. He says, woman, why are you crying? Now please, somebody, come on, see this picture. She's looking for Jesus, but she's talking to Jesus. This is Jesus right here. She's looking for him. There he is. He's standing right there. This is like some of our prayer life. Jesus, I need you, Jesus, Jesus. Where are you, Jesus, Jesus? Jesus, give me Jesus. Jesus, give me back Jesus, Jesus. I need Jesus right now, Jesus. I mean, she's talking to Jesus, but she doesn't see that he's there. Not too long ago, I was in my house, and I couldn't find my car keys, and so I turned my house upside down like it was a CSI, you know, movie or something, TV show. I'm like flipping around. There's like burglars coming in. I'm like, Don Cherie. It's my wife. I'm like, Don Cherie. I'm like, where are my keys? She's like, have you checked your pocket? I'm like, of course I've checked my pocket, woman. And I'm like, oh, I've always loved you so much. Sometimes the answer you're looking for is right in front of you. Sometimes the thing that you think is missing is not that far away whatsoever. She's praying for Jesus, but Jesus is standing right in front of her. The Bible says that she turns and she thinks that he's the gardener. She thinks it's the gardener. And I've heard all sorts of preaching, oh, you can miss Jesus, he's not the gardener, you know. I think he was the gardener. That's who he was in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. He was the gardener who walked with Adam and Eve everywhere that they went. He was the gardener who was in relationship with them. He was the gardener. They had an intimate relationship, and he's trying to show you, guess what? I still am that gardener, but guess what? Heaven's open back up. Guess what? Club Eden is open for access. You don't need a VIP pass. You just need to come through the blood of Jesus. She thinks it's the gardener. I think he was the gardener. You know what a gardener does? A gardener plants seed. A gardener waters seed. But then a gardener harvests seed. I really believe that Mary was in need of one thing on that day. She was in need of a gardener. Because on that day, Jesus was planting a seed of faith inside of Mary. He was watering a seed of faith inside of Mary, and he was fixing to harvest a seed of faith inside of Mary. Some of you aren't following. You see, today, Jesus is my gardener, but tomorrow, he'll be my doctor. Today, Jesus, he's my father, but tomorrow, I'm gonna be in need of a brother. Today, he's my banker, but tomorrow, he's my lawyer. Understand, God says in Exodus, I am who I am. Jesus reiterates this by saying, I am the great I am. You say, what does that mean? Essentially, Trinity Church and Tootsies Incorporated, that simply means I am whatever you need me to be right this moment. Whatever you're lacking, that's who I am. What do you need? That's who I am. What do you need? What'd you walk in here with tonight? Are the bills too much? Guess what? He still is Jehovah Jireh, your provider. Are you sick in your body? Guess what? By his stripes, you are healed. Is your relationship on the rocks? Guess what? He says, I am the God who makes all things new. I am whatever you need me to be. I'm the gardener. Please see this picture. The worship can start making their way up here. Otherwise, I'll preach all night. I go to my church on Friday nights and preach to empty pews. So you sitting there, just I'll just go all night. I have fun with it, you know. Thinking he's the gardener, then all of a sudden, quickly, what happens here? I love this transition here. All of a sudden, Jesus, he's revealing things that we don't even see. Guess what? No, I'm not in between the two cherubim anymore. Now you have access to me. Guess what? I still am the gardener. Club Eden is opened back up. Then all of a sudden, all he says is this. He just simply says, Mary. He just calls her name. And the moment he calls her name, we see this picture of Mary turning and running to Jesus and wrapping her arms around Jesus. And she starts to cry out, teacher, teacher, teacher. Mary. I don't know what God's voice sounds like. I sure hope it sounds like Mufasa from The Lion King. How angry are you going to be if you get up there and like, Jesus has got like puberty? What up, man? You're like, no. I didn't picture it this way. He just says, Mary. Doesn't say anything. Mary just says her name. She turns and she runs and she wraps her arms around him. You see, in saying her name, he's showing you and I that he is the God who's the one who created the heavens and the earth. He's the one who took dirt and formed a man, but he's also the God who's intimately acquainted with each and every one of us. He knows your name tonight. Every hair on your head, he knows the count to it. He knows your dreams. He knows your plans. He knows your hopes. He knows your fears. He knows your proclivities. He knows your worries. He knows your tendencies. He knows everything about you. Oh, Lord, you've searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise, you perceive my thoughts from afar. Before a word is even on my tongue, oh, Lord, you know it completely. That'll change the way you pray. Mary, all he had to say was her name. And she turned and she realized, I'm going to get through this thing. This is the God who knows my name. The Bible says that she runs and she wraps her arms around him. And as she's hugging him, he makes this statement. The King James Version says it like this. He says, Mary, don't cling to me. Cling to me, but rather go and tell others about me. You know what can happen if we're not careful, especially after a conference like this one? We can cling to a moment with Jesus. We can cling to a time at the altar. We can cling to a style of the past. We can cling to a moment of how it used to be and how it once was. But Jesus says, no, you can't cling to me, but rather you got to go and tell others about me. This is who our God is. He's a God who's always doing a new thing. Friend, we can't get wrapped up in the past. We've got to be more committed to the future than we ever are to the past. He's a God who's doing a new thing. Don't you take manna for more than one day. I'm the God who wants to give you fresh manna today. I'm the God who wants to give you everything you need right now today. Don't cling to me, but rather go and tell others about me. And this woman, in one moment, she goes from a situation that's not looking very good at all, to all of a sudden, we see this woman going to the situation where she's full of faith. She's got a testimony. She's got something to testify about. She goes back to the disciples. And I love her statement. She simply says, I have seen the Lord. I've seen him. There's not a debate. There's not a discussion. I've seen Jesus. He's real. He changed me. He's alive. He's working. The Bible's clear. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus' sacrifice, and the word of our testimony. I don't want to be one of these Christians who's really good at telling you the first part of my testimony, not very good at the second part of my testimony. You know what I'm talking about, right? Like, oh yeah, man, when I was out in the world, I was crazy, man. I was crazy, dude. Girls every night, the club, parties. Oh yeah, I was crazy. But then one day, I met Jesus. Yeah, now I go to church. Oh, that's cool. Sunday night, it's 5 o'clock. Pretty rowdy bunch. It's pretty crazy. Yeah, no, you could come. I don't want to put pressure on you to come. That'd be weird. I mean, no, like, you don't have to come. Not me. I've seen the Lord. I've seen Jesus. Forget about the first part. Let me tell you about the second part. Oh, the second part is oh so much better. I was lost, but now I've been found. I was dead, but now I'm alive. I was lame, but now I can walk. I was blind, but now I can see. I've got a testimony. I've seen the Lord. And when you see the Lord, he's always the God who comes back and says, it's not always how it looks. Oh, but Pastor Rich, you don't know how it looks for me today. My marriage, it looks bad. No, 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 no. You serve a God who says, it's not always how it looks. Oh, Pastor Rich, you don't understand the business. It's failing. I don't think we can make it one more week. I know, but it's not always how it looks. Pastor Rich, my young kids, I mean, they're running. They're teenagers. They're running from God. I try to get them to come to church, but they're just not interested. I think we're going to lose them. I don't think we're going to make it. I know, but it's not always how it looks. Because every time you run to the arms of Jesus, he will always tell you the same thing. He will say, in the end, it's going to be okay. But you say, it's not okay. Well, guess what? It's not the end, baby. It's not okay. Then it's not the end, because in the end, it's going to be okay. He's the God who declares, it's not always how it looks. I find this story fascinating because here's where I resonate. Mary Magdalene was a prostitute. Mary Magdalene was a woman who had 7 demons cast out of her. Mary Magdalene was a woman living in a society where women, no matter how smart, no matter how much money you had, were no matter what seen as second class. Yet with all the things going against her, she is the very first person who witnesses the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Say, why did it happen? I think it's pretty simple. I think it's because she got to the tomb. And even though she was weeping, and even though she was scared, and even though she was afraid, and even though tears were coming down, she looked at Peter and John and they ran off full of fear. She said, not for me. I'm staying right here. I'm not moving one inch. I'm not moving one iota. I've made a decision to stand firm. After you've done everything you can do to stand firm. Make a decision. I'm not leaving. I'm not running. I'm sticking right here until I see Jesus. I'm going to get blessed. I'm going to see him. Those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. I'm not leaving till I see Jesus. I'm not moving from this place until I see him move. I believe he's the God who declares that it's not always how it looks. If it's looking bad, that's a great place to let him begin to do what only he can do. Tonight, all across this place, would you just stand to your feet and would you just bow your heads? I'm not leaving. I'm not moving. You know what waiting is? You know what waiting on the Lord is? It's when your back is up against the wall. It's when you can't see the light at the end of the tunnel. It's when you're facing hell and high water, but you make a decision right there in that moment. I'm not moving. I'm going to see Jesus. I'm going to see my family changed. I'm going to see the finances turn. I believe He can and He will. He's the God who can do exceedingly immeasurably more than we could ever ask or think. He's the God who came to me. Tonight, your head's bowed, your eyes are closed. Just want to take a moment here and pray for some people. You're in this room right now. You'd be honest. You'd say, Rich, if I could just define my circumstance for a moment, I'd have to say, Rich, it's not looking very good. I don't know what that means for you. Maybe it's new pressure. Maybe it's worry of tomorrow. Maybe it's fear of yesterday. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's a health issue. Maybe it's a financial issue. I do not know the circumstance nor the situation. I just know that I serve a God who shows up and declares it's not always how it looks. If that's you tonight, just want to know who I'm praying for. I want you to lift both your hands to heaven right where you are. Just lift both your hands to heaven. Rich, it's not looking very good. It's not looking very good. It's not looking very good. Whew. Whew. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we worship you in this place. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. With hands lifted up, Lord, I pray tonight, Jesus, for those that have lifted hands, God. Lord, I pray tonight, Jesus, Lord, that your Spirit would begin to comfort right now. God, we know that you're here. We know that you're in this place. We don't think we've lost you. Lord, we can't lose you. You're the God who goes before us and behind us and around us. You are the God who's always with us. You are Emmanuel. That's who you are. Tonight, Jesus, those with lifted hands, God, I pray as they lift their hands, Lord, that the burden, God, would begin to be lifted off, Jesus. I pray that right now in this place that the word of the Lord would begin to be so clear to them that, Jesus, you are moving and maneuvering in their life. You're the God who works all things together for the good of those who put their hope and their trust in you. You are the God who declares, I have plans for you, plans to prosper you, to give you a hope and a future. Jesus, you're the one who says all the days ordained for us were written in your book before one of them came to be. Lord, we put our trust in you. You, the man, Jesus Christ. His hands are lifted up, Lord. I just pray right now, God, for sickness in this place. I come against disease right now in the name of Jesus. Every disease has to go. I come against cancer. I come against diabetes. I come against heart failure right now. There's somebody in this place tonight. You just got a bad report. I just declare right now in the name of Jesus that your arteries are being cleared out right now in the name of Jesus. He's restoring you. He's reviving you. By his stripes you are healed. He took 39 lashes. Every one of those lashes, he was declaring healing over your body. I believe it right now in the name of Jesus. Pray for a marriage in here tonight. Somebody in here, you walked in, your marriage is barely going to make it. It's barely going to make it. But tonight, he's declaring, it's not always how it looks. Tonight, I can redeem it. I can restore it. I can do something new tonight. Put your trust, put your faith into that God. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for listening. For more information about Healing Place Church, go to healingplacechurch.org or give us a call at 225-753-2273.